It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what we can say for sure. The next state's attorney of Cook County will not be Kimberly Fox, the woman who holds the job now. After 8 years in the spotlight and sometimes the bullseye, she has decided not to seek re-election. This weekend, we'll talk to both of the candidates in the best position to step into the role next. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. I've spoken separately with both Democrat Eileen O'Neill Burke and Republican Bob Fioretti this past week. Libertarian candidate Andrew Kapinski also was invited but was unable to join me. Civil rights attorney Bob Fioretti is up first. You'll remember him as a Chicago alderman for years and a past candidate for offices like Cook County Board President, State's Attorney, and twice for mayor. I asked him what in his experience makes him the best person to command an office with an army of attorneys.
Well, we have 700 attorneys and we have about 1,100 staff members, so It is a large staff, but overall, I have the better experience, knowledge, temperament, ability to deal with cases that come into that office. I want to restore the mission, the original mission of that office, which is to represent the victims of crime, restore the rule of law, and break this whole cycle of crime and corruption that we see in this city and county. And as you know, and I think all of your listeners know, that the problem is that Chicago has been named the number one most corrupt city in the country for the fourth year in a row, and that costs us a lot of money too.
But that is, that's a broad sweep of things. What do you feel the current state's attorney hasn't gotten right?
Well, she doesn't have the experience or the ability to build coalitions. And I've tried cases throughout this county and every courthouse. I have tried cases throughout all the collar counties and many throughout the state, all through the surrounding states too, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan. I've done the work in the battlefields and I know what needs to be done. But at the same time, I have built my whole career, I have changed laws, I've created laws and both on the state level. And I've built coalitions on to help change those laws. Some of my own cases have changed the laws. I've changed how we deal with chokeholds here, how we secure suspects in cars, how detectives gather notes. I've also changed the adoption laws here in this state, and it really affected how we deal across the country with some of my cases. So I have the experience and I've built those coalitions that are necessary to make things happen.
Well, let's talk about what changes you would feel need to be made most urgently in that office.
Well, I think you have to enforce the laws written first and foremost. That is a problem that is not happening. I think the Democratic philosophy on the criminal justice system is pretty simple. One, the police officers are the bad guys. The criminals are the good guys. And those that are the victims, they don't count at all in this equation. And that's wrong. And so I plan on making those changes on the first day, that we enforce the law as written, we support our victims, we back our police because we work with law enforcement, not against them. And I'm going to welcome back many of the state's attorneys, and they've told me that if I win, they'd come back and ask them to help again, because we're losing a lot of institutional knowledge. And then finally, as I started off, break the cycle of crime and corruption, which is so prevalent in many of these public offices.
Let's talk about at least one of the laws. Actually, it's really a bunch of laws on the books, and that's the Safety Act. That made many changes in state laws, and it's been in full effect for about at least a year. The most notable change has been the elimination of cash bail. Now, we've been doing stories on this for a while now. Even some critics have suggested that it seems to be working pretty much well. What do you see going wrong under the end of cash bail?
Well, I think there's a couple of issues behind the act. Let's not forget it started off thrown into the hodgepodge of the final day of passage, even though there were people at the table that drafted it. There were 917 pages. What happened then was 100 state's attorneys filed a lawsuit over it. It resulted in a 300-page trailer bill that ultimately passed. You know, cash bail is an issue. I mean, people have given bad thoughts can sometimes create bad legislation. I mean, we're faced with here in Cook County, a huge number of people that don't show up, criminal defendants that do not show up at their court dates. And something has to be done on that. We have to look and come up with a system that those 60% to 70% or more, according to the Iris Martinez's office, the clerk of the court, to do something to ensure that those that commit crimes show up for their court appearances. And that's what cash bail did.
But cash bail also held a lot of people who were accused of minor crimes because they couldn't afford bail. How do you deal with that problem where if it's a minor retail theft and they're behind bars, unable to make money for their families while awaiting trial, and trials take too long to happen in Cook County, like many other places, and dangerous people with money were sometimes getting out? How do you deal with both of those dimensions?
Well, what you just said and how you said it from the beginning, that they are minor retail theft and then they can't make money for their families and they're being awaiting trial. The truth of the matter is that just doesn't happen. It didn't happen in our Cook County system. And so what needs to be done, nonviolent crimes are types that should be maybe subject not to to have bail. How you look at it, what you think about it, you look at the person's background, you look at whether it was a violent or nonviolent crime, you look at whether or not they have a possibility or they're a flight risk, are they a harm to the victims, are they a harm to the community at large? Those are factors judges should evaluate as we look at this system. I admit that in a lot of ways, the system needs professional people and competent people, but it needs to be well-funded. And sometimes I fault the way our county government funds both the state's attorney's office and the public defender's office. We need good state's attorneys and we need good public defenders to represent the people that are accused.
But do you feel that under the system as it is right now, the judges are being able to hold defendants who do present a danger or a flight risk, that the state's attorney's offices are getting people held without bail more often than they were before?
Well, the answer is yes, they are on certain crimes, but let's take a look at an assault on a police officer, and I believe it's an aggravated assault on a police officer, aggravated assault on a senior citizen. They are not detainable offenses, and we should be looking at what to do. And I know you're giving me that quizzical look, but the truth of the matter is they're not. Somebody holding an illegal machine gun, which only is their only aim is to wreak havoc on the citizens or police, that by itself is a non-detainable offense. So, we have to look at the seriousness of the crimes.
Indeed. Let's look at
And
another.
let's not forget, I am a civil rights lawyer. If I'm elected, I'll be the first civil rights lawyer in that office. And it makes a world of experience. I have the experience. I see the stars are lining up for my election, where you have Republicans, independents, and fear-ready Democrats are coalescing together because people are sick and tired of the Democratic Party's handling of crime and what happens.
Let's talk about something else you've talked about, and that's that State's Attorney Kim Fox was criticized in a number of circles for having raised the threshold for felony prosecutions for retail theft from $500 allowed under state law to $1,000. She said that doing what she did directs more resources to more violent crimes. What do you say?
I think it was a punch in the stomach of every retail person. They feel that, it was open season on them. I've been in a Greek town Walgreens, not once but twice. I saw individuals who grab items as I'm in line for the checkout, and they're grabbing items and running out the door. And the cashier then says, "Somebody stop him. Somebody stop him." I said, when I got up there, "What are you going to do? You're not going to prosecute them." And the small businesses, Walgreens may be able to absorb the insurance costs, but small businesses can't. It's part of the problem that we have on Michigan Ave. That people, how many times can you get robbed until the insurance company says, "Hey, folks, we're not covering you anymore." It's becoming a problem.
I do want to address another issue here. You've been saying that you will back the police, but there are millions of dollars in settlements, as you know, having been a former alderman, being paid out every year when police have gotten it wrong, sometimes recklessly so. How do you back the police and still deal effectively with police misconduct?
Well, when people break the law, they have to be prosecuted. But a few bad apples in a barrel does not destroy all of the apples. The few that may be doing an issue or creating an issue in the department are few and far between. Good police officers do not want bad officers. And yes, we see over and over some of these wrongful convictions, but I sometimes wonder why we got to get to the bottom of it. What happened that created it? Was it a problem in the lab? Was it a problem in identification? I'd like to always refer people to there's an Alfred Hitchcock movie that starts off, I think it was done in about 1954, The Wrong Man. And it was about an Italian that was in a lineup, and he was the one who was picked out. It was the wrong person. He went to jail. In fact, there's a number of articles that were written about this wrongful conviction. Our system's not perfect, but we have to try to strive to make it better. And I am going to be doing that because I think you can balance the rights of the victim and make sure the defendant has the necessary tools and material to have a fair trial. And that's what we're all about as state's attorneys. We have a very difficult job because we're not only look, we have to look out for the public and to make sure that the rights of the defendant are honored.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue, I'm Craig Delamore, and that was Bob Fioretti, the Republican candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. Next, we'll hear from former appellate court justice Eileen O'Neill Burke. She's the Democratic candidate in this race. I asked her the same first question I asked Fioretti. What in her experience makes her the best fit for a role with such life and death responsibilities?
And that is a responsibility I take very seriously because I have been a state's attorney. I was a criminal defense attorney after that. I was a trial court judge, and then I was on the appellate court. So I have literally sat at every single side of the justice system table. I've had every vantage point you can have on what is effective and what is not effective in the justice system. And that is what makes me qualified to do this job. I could have stayed on the appellate court and kept clucking about how I didn't think our system was working right now for anyone, or I could try to do something about it. So I made the decision to step down from the appellate court and to run for this job. And I think the experience I bring to the table could help make this situation better. But more importantly than that, the experience and the people who are coming to the office with me are going to be phenomenal stewards of this office. And we are going to make some seismic change there.
Let me ask you, where do you feel the current state's attorney, Kim Fox, has done it right? And where might you feel she has fallen short?
So I will tell you this, that this office, as you just touched on, is enormous. There are 1,300 employees. We cover all of Cook County, which is bigger than 26 states. We have 5 bureaus. We have multiple courthouses. We cover everything from real estate tax to guardianship to criminal prosecution. There is not one part of county government that doesn't touch on the state's attorney's office. So while I applaud Kim for running this office for 8 years, that is a monumental task. I think she got a lot of things right. She diversified the office. That is really important. That is something that we are going to continue to focus on. She put a focus on restorative justice courts. And I will tell you, let's talk a little bit about restorative justice. It's a blanket term, and it means different things to different people. So I want to tell you exactly what I mean when I'm talking about restorative justice. There are several deferred prosecution courts. They are for nonviolent offenses for specific types of offenders, like people dealing with mental illness, people dealing with drug addiction, sex workers, veterans. And they are a collaborative approach with the judge, the defense attorney, and the state's attorney on figuring out what this person needs to get back on track. I am a big believer in these programs because I've seen them work. Their recidivism rates are significantly less than any other felony courtroom. So for nonviolent offenses, I want to expand on that. Kim did a very good job of bringing these to the forefront. That's what we need to focus on how we can get people turned around before they turn to violent crime, before that happens, because not only does that make us better morally as a society, but it's better fiscally. It's significantly cheaper to get people turned around than to incarcerate people. So those are things I want to build on.
Let's talk about some of the higher profile issues that you'll be facing. One is involves the Safety Act, which made many changes in state laws, but it's now been in full effect for at least a year. The most notable change, the one getting most of the headlines, has been the elimination of cash bail. Even some critics suggest it seems to be doing pretty well, but what's your assessment of how the end of cash bail is playing out in the state?
So the Safety Act is a seminal, once-in-a-generation change that changes how we approach pretrial detention. So it used to be judges that set bond. We've all seen that. The more serious the offense, the higher the bond would be. It'd be, you know, murder, it'd be $1 million bond. That was judges' way of keeping someone detained if they presented a danger to the public. So the Safety Act changes that. Now the Safety Act says we're not going to look at money bond. The only criterion we're going to look at is, are you a danger to the public or are you not? And I think we can all agree that if somebody is not a danger to the public, they do not need to be detained before they're found guilty. That is a huge step forward in our justice system. But what the Safety Act also does is it changes the state's attorney's role in detention. Now, before the judge can ever make that determination, the state's attorney needs to file a petition to detain. If the state's attorney does not file a petition to detain, it doesn't matter whether the defendant is a child predator. It doesn't matter if it's a serial killer. If the state's attorney doesn't file that petition, a judge has to release the defendant. So it's become exponentially more important that someone is in charge and understands all the ramifications and puts in place criteria and training for those attorneys that are in those detention courts.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because as you point out, that is a serious burden for the state's attorney's office. Can the office handle that that extra work? Especially, I know there have been some problems hiring enough attorneys in general. And the other question that I want to put on top of that is, are the right crimes deemed non-detainable, or do you think there need to be some changes?
So first of all, let's tackle our staffing issues. So you are correct that the state's attorney's office right now is woefully understaffed. And where we are missing people is the felony trial division. So many people run businesses and you spend a long time training and grooming people to come up through your ranks. State's attorney's office is the same way. We spend a lot of time on training and traffic and misdemeanor court and juvenile court in order to get people ready for the felony trial court, where it is crucially important that you are skilled and knowledgeable about how to conduct a criminal prosecution. That's where we're missing people. So we need to bring people back to the office who have retired. We're also going to be in a triage situation. I have tapped several retired judges to come back and do trainings. And we are going to be offering a curriculum in the state's attorney's office that is unparalleled to any other prosecutor's office in the nation. This is going to be the place to come if you want to be a trial attorney. There's going to be no better training. So we are going to restaff the office in that way by offering a training that's going to be like a master's degree in trial work. So that's one with the staffing issue. Your second question was about, are we asking for the correct crimes to be detained? So I don't believe in playing hide the ball, Craig. So I'm going to tell you exactly when we're asking for detention and how we're going to accomplish that. We will ask for detention each and every time someone is caught with an assault weapon or a gun with a switch and an extended magazine. We had 764 people shot this summer in Chicago alone. Almost every weekend, we are seeing a mass shooting. On Monday mornings now, nobody is shocked anymore to see 25 people shot, 30 people shot, 40 people shot. I don't want to get immune to those numbers. Those are war zone numbers. We need to get control of the guns that have flooded this county. So the problem is the guns that are so prevalent right now are these guns that have been equipped with a switch and an extended magazine. When you do this to a handgun, it makes it very difficult to control. They just spray bullets. And that's why we're seeing people who have nothing to do with the dispute are getting swept up in gunfire. We have a tool, and the tool is the assault weapons ban. It bans the use of these guns with a switch. It bans the possession of them. It bans the use of extended magazines, and it bans the AR-15s and the AK-47 assault weapons. We need to enforce that ban, and we are going to do so by every single time someone is found with one of these guns, we are going to ask for detention and jail time. We need to change those people's perception that there is no consequence to carrying these weapons. We're also going to ask for detention each and every time a gun or a weapon is displayed in a forcible felony, armed robberies, carjackings, aggravated batteries, aggravated discharge of a firearm, aggravated assaults with a weapon. We will also be asking for detention each and every time a violent crime is committed on the CTA or public transportation. We have had an enormous increase in crime on the CTA. The number, the analysis I just saw that the Tribune put out was we are at the highest incidence of crime occurring on the CTA since 2000. Since the year 2000. That means we are not doing something to address that crime. In order to have a safe, vibrant city, we need to have a safe public transportation system. And we do not have that right now. We need to change the perception, and we need to change the behavior. And we can do that by enforcing the law.
Let me also ask, how should the state's attorney's office handle things like police misconduct when it comes across and still maintain good relations with law enforcement in general?
So there has been very much of a schism between the law enforcement, between police officers and the state's attorney's office. We need to have a working relationship with the police. They are our main, if not our sole witness on each and every case. So we need to have a working relationship with them. So one of the first things that we are going to be implementing as part of our curriculum is we are going to take brand new state's attorneys and brand new cadets out of the academy, and we're going to put them together in a one-week class. In that class, every single day, we are going to cover a different topic that they are going to see out on the street every day. So, for example, the first day is going to be Terry stops. What's a Terry stop? What does the Constitution say? What are the parameters of it? When do you need a search warrant? The next day is going to be, when do you need to Mirandize someone? What makes a good statement? What's a bad statement? What taints a statement? Then the next day is going to be, how do you treat juvenile offenders differently from adult offenders? And then in the afternoon, we're going to have the brand new state's attorney put the brand new cadet on the stand and practice doing a direct exam so that nobody ever goes into court cold. I think we can start to knit back the relationship between the police and the state's attorneys by doing that. But I have a secondary goal, and the secondary goal is we are going to have the best versed in the law state's attorneys in this entire country. But what if we could also have the best versed in the law police department? That's a game change. That changes how we approach our jobs. That makes it, we all become better if we know the law thoroughly. So that's my priority. With regard to police misconduct, let me be very clear. There is no one gets a free pass. No one gets a blind eye. If there is unconstitutional policing going on, we will prosecute. And no one should question my resolve to do that. That discredits all of us if we allow that to continue.
That was Eileen O'Neill Burke, Democratic candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. I thank her for talking with me. Thanks as well to her opponent, Republican Bob Fioretti. The Libertarian Party candidate, Andrew Kopinski, was invited to be a part of this program, but was unable to join me. We'll try to talk with him in our regular news coverage. Tuesday, November 5th is Election Day, but early voting is underway in many jurisdictions, or will be soon. So is voting by mail. This is a crucial year, so please exercise your right to vote, especially in close elections. Your vote counts. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMnewsradio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dullamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.